This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
It is 4 p.m. and you are listening to Green Talks, the weekly radio show where we discuss the projects and initiatives that have been funded by the Student Sustainability Council, as well as environmental projects around Lexington and the UK community that are making a big impact. Today I'm joined with Maggie, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her upcoming trip. And I'm really excited to have you here today because this is an excellent experience. So do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm Maggie. I'm actually from West Virginia, and I'm a sophomore here at UK, and I'm an equine science and management major, and I'm actually a pre-vet student as well. So I absolutely love it here in Lexington.
It sounds like you like animals too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the project that you came to the Student Sustainability Council for funding was a trip to a project or a place called Amazonico, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about it? Who are they? What do they do? What is the program that you're going to be participating in?
Okay, so I actually found out about this place through a program called Loop Abroad, and that is where I applied with this program too. And you go and they send you to this place called Tena, Ecuador, and it is a facility called Amazonico, which is a rescue center in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. And so we get to go in and we get to work with animals in this rescue facility and do all kinds of work with this rescue facility and just get to have fun and experience of a lifetime this summer.
That's so exciting. Congratulations on getting some funding. That sounds like it's going to be a really, really awesome program. So we know you like animals just based on kind of your majors and everything, but how did you become interested in these issues in particular?
So like I said, I'm a pre-vet student. Obviously, I love animals like we had talked about, and I knew for vet school that they require some exotic hours, and so I started looking into it, and I actually found out about this program through a friend of mine that goes here to UK, and she went last year with the exact same program, but she went to South Africa, and so she talked to me about it, did a presentation with the pre-vet club here on campus, and I knew that it was something that I wanted to do, that I wanted to go out of the country and to experience a different culture and to get to work with people from a different community, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do. So I started looking into it, and after hearing her talk about South Africa, I said, you know, I want to do something a little bit different from what she did, and I found the program in Ecuador, and so that's just where it started, and I went from there.
Cool. Okay, so what, and you mentioned that you're going to a very different community than Kentucky. So what are some of the challenges that the people, animals, or the environment have faced there in the Amazon as a result of some of the environmental changes, maybe deforestation or things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the program that we work with actually takes in trafficked animals and they rehabilitate them and return them to the wild if possible. And so obviously that's a huge impact there is when the animals are being taken out of the rainforest. That takes a lot, one, away from the environmental aspect of it, and two, away from the economic side of it for the community. So they rely heavily in that area on tourism of the rainforest and their tours through the rainforest. And when you take those animals out of the rainforest, they don't have the tourists coming in to see the monkeys and the birds and all the exotic animals there. And so the program really focuses on going in, working with getting those animals healthy, providing the vet care for them, returning them back into the rainforest and back into that community in that area so that they can rely on that again.
Okay, so it sounds like this animal trafficking issue is pretty important. So can you give us sort of more detail on kind of maybe the history of that, like why it's happening or how it impacts the community? You mentioned the tourism part. That sounds like it's probably a pretty big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So they, like I said, they rely heavily on tourism there. They don't have vet care in that area. So one of the main things that we get to go do is go into the community and do free vet care for their pets as well. And so we get to work with the community on making their pets healthier, making their community and their economy more sustainable as well. And then, of course, the trafficking aspect of it, that's a big problem. So just like here in the United States, we have dog fighting. And when those rings are broken up, the animals go into rescue facilities and then hopefully get adopted back out. Well, that's how it is there. So people are taking those animals illegally from that rainforest, putting them in bad situations, shipping them out, selling them in the black market or underneath. And that's not right. The animals, one, can't, you know, a lot of times, like, get used to that environment. And two, they're really suffering in that environment as well. So they bring them back to us. We will get to rehabilitate them and get them back to where they need to be.
That's great. Yeah, that sounds like that's probably miserable for the animals. So you mentioned sustainability and some of the efforts that you will be addressing there. And we've already mentioned that the Student Sustainability Council has helped to fund this project using the environmental stewardship fee, which the SSC allocates each year. So what are some of the ways that your project is going to address the three pillars of sustainability? And our frequent listeners probably already know what those are, but just as a reminder, those are environmental, economic, and social impacts.
Yeah, so we get to go in socially, we get to go in and work with that community specifically, and a couple other communities around. We get to explain to them the vet care aspect of things, work with them on, like I said, making their pets healthier, and then also work with them on the exotic side of things and the animals that they're using to boost their economy and just the financial aspect of their lives. And so we get to go in and kind of explain to them how better to deal with that situation and what they're going through, and just to, I guess, make it work a little bit better on their side of things. And then obviously environmental side, we're taking these animals and we're putting them back into the wild. We're getting them back up to health. And when you put everything back into where it needs to be, it kind of puts the environment back in equilibrium where it should be. And so when these animals are out, it's all over the place. Obviously, there's deforestation happening, but getting these animals back to where they need to be in the community and the economy and everything back in equilibrium where it should be is one of the biggest parts of this entire trip.
Okay, great. So what would you say, and this ties into, I guess, our last question, is the significance of the Amazon rainforest ecosystem to the people who do depend on it for their livelihood? Because obviously it's a vast area and there's a lot of people who live like in or around it. So how might they depend on that for their livelihood?
Yeah, so they don't, a lot of problems there is that they don't have a lot in that area. So like here we have everything within a couple of minutes, and there they don't. So their closest hospital, I think what they told us, was like an hour and a half away. And so that's pretty far just for them to get to a doctor, let alone, you know, everything else that they have. They might have a couple of places to eat, but that's about it. So obviously an entire community can't depend on just a couple of little shops. So a lot of them depend on the ecosystem, depend on those animals. And so that is a huge aspect for them that they rely on for them to live. So that is a major like part of this project, and part of this trip is going in and working with these people to better their understanding of kind of their situation.
So would you personally recommend that students who are interested in zoology or in veterinary sciences become more educated about sustainability? I know it's kind of a broad topic, but it seems like that might be something that could augment their learning.
Yeah. So when I got into this, obviously I was like, oh, animals, this is awesome. And something that I've never worked with before. I've done the small animal thing. I've done the large animal thing. And when I saw the exotic side of thing, I knew that this was something that I wanted to do. I didn't realize how big of an issue and how big of an impact that it had on literally everything. And the environment, obviously everything relies on the environment. And when you're taking that environment away, that's a big problem, and that's taking animals away. And honestly, our society depends on animals and, you know, their production and what they give to us. And so when you take that environment away and you take the animals away with it, that becomes a huge problem. So I definitely encourage anyone that looks into it and is interested in it to absolutely take it and run with it, because I did, and it has made a huge impact on me.
Yeah, that's great. And vet school is pretty hard to get into, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know, maybe if you're thinking about that, or if it's something that's interesting to you, you might want to think about things that can set you apart from the competition. And sustainability is obviously something that we should all be thinking about anyway, but if you need just another kick to kind of get started with that, it's something that stands out on a resume, so don't forget about that.
Absolutely.
So it seems like going to another country and doing a trip like this is probably something that has challenges involved. So what would you say has been the most challenging part of preparing for this trip, or that you think will be the most challenging part when you actually get there?
Yeah, so when I first started looking into it, obviously the financial aspect of it was a big challenge for me. I 100% was determined, and it might be my stubborn side, but I was not going to have my parents, I guess, pay for this in any way, shape, or form. I did not want to ask them for the money. And so that was something that I was dead set on. And so I was like, how am I going to raise the money for this? And I just worked really hard at it. I had a lot of business donors, and the Student Sustainability Council, I received a grant from them. And that was a huge help for me. And that was something that really made it possible for me to go and be able to do this. And the fundraising that I went through to get there, that was huge. And I think the other one that you asked about, just once I get there, the main language in that area is actually Spanish. I have taken a couple years of Spanish. I am not fluent in Spanish whatsoever. So I think that that's going to be a big challenge for me once I get there, is just interacting with the community and the people there. But I'm sure that it'll work, and we'll have translators, and I don't know. I'm excited just to see where it goes.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to learn. I know that, like, when you're learning a language, it can be really helpful to get to immerse yourself completely in that culture, because you learn, like, really fast.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that'll be awesome for you. So what are you most excited about?
I'll be honest, I've never been around these type of animals before, so I'm very excited to go in and get to be hands-on. We get to do surgeries. We get to open animals up and look into them and see, you know, what's going on in that area. And that's something that I absolutely cannot wait to do. It's something different, and it's a completely different culture there. And I love different cultures, so I cannot wait to go in and just experience something completely different.
So with that culture, have you learned a lot about the culture already? Like, have you done some research and kind of gotten to know more about the people that you'll be visiting?
Yeah. So actually, one of my dad's coworkers is from Ecuador, and from that area specifically. And I didn't even know that going into this. And my dad started talking to her, and she was like, have her come talk to me. And so I actually went and sat down with her, and she talked to me a lot about the culture there, what I would be seeing, things that I needed to do, needed even like food to try. And that was a huge help, and that really made it just a little bit more calming to know where I was going and kind of what I was doing. But it made me a lot more excited to know like a little bit more about the culture before I got there.
That's great. We had some guests earlier in the year that were talking about the orphanage that they were working on in Haiti. And it was really interesting to hear kind of how they prepared themselves for this trip. Because when you are going into such a new culture, it's so important to be able to have that cultural literacy. So you're not just, you know, going in and acting like your way of doing things is the best, because there's a lot that all parties can learn. So that's really exciting to hear that you've been preparing. We are going to take a quick break, and then we will come back to talking to Maggie about the wildlife rehabilitation project. All right, we are back. I've been talking to Maggie about the wildlife rehabilitation program that she's going to be doing, and we've had an interesting conversation about the different culture that she's going to be experiencing, as well as some of the environmental issues that make this kind of work necessary. And I also just wanted to point out that this is going to be really an interesting cultural experience because, Maggie, if you want to talk more about some of the different students that are going to be involved with this program.
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever I applied to this, we go in groups of 8 to 10 students with a couple of chaperones that are adults, typically vets, since we're doing vet work. And when I applied to it, they sent out a thing saying, you know, we will not know who is in our group with us until about a week before, just because of flights and like cancellations and everything like that. And so when they sent that, it also had an information on there about the people that are coming can be from all over the world. So it might be 8 to 10 students from the United States. It might be 8 to 10 students from all the different countries. Like, we don't know. And then the vets, of course, are from different countries as well. So it's definitely going to be interesting and definitely going to be a huge culture change for me. And I'm actually really excited to experience that and to get to talk to other people from all over.
That's great. That sounds like it's going to be such a cool cultural experience for you, and I'm sure you'll never forget it. So you mentioned earlier that you had a lot of funding partners, and that's something that I think anyone who's studied abroad, who's planning to study abroad, will definitely understand that the projects can be pretty expensive, and so having that funding partnership is really important. So what did that process look like for you? Like, you got funding from, I think, several sources.
Yeah, so when I first started looking into this, I knew that I wanted to fundraise all of the money myself and with the help of my family. And so the program that I went with actually sent out like some fundraising tips. And so one of the things was a business letter and just very basic, helped us kind of write out what we were doing. And I typed that up, and at home, actually, I mentioned that I was from West Virginia. I went out to several businesses, started handing them out. And when I say several, like every single business from here to, you know, 20 miles away, I put them everywhere. And I sat down with managers of businesses and talked and explained the entire project for several days. And that was very helpful. Once people saw that I was passionate about what I was doing and, you know, the impacts that this was going to have, they were a lot more willing to donate. And so they started sending money to me to put towards my trip and towards my, or just to my trip in general. And it just went from there. I actually got a lot of funding from businesses. And I also did that here in Lexington as well, sent it to several different businesses here as well, and got to go talk with people. And then, of course, like I had mentioned, I applied for the grant here at school, and that was a big help because I did receive like a good amount of money from them as well. So that was kind of the funding aspect of it. And also, like, I relied a lot on my family. We went and we did several fundraisers, and that covered the rest of it. And so they were a huge help just to go in and get those fundraisers started.
That's great. I know that cost can definitely seem like a very prohibitive thing, but it sounds like you really leveraged your community, and that's awesome. And I love that the Student Sustainability Council was able to help you out too, because with the students, that every student pays the environmental stewardship fee each semester. And so I think that that's something that is really a great way to give back to students, because it's a small fee. It's only $4 a semester, but it allows us to do a whole lot of really awesome stuff. And so I'm always glad to talk to the people on this show, because we really learn a lot about the kinds of things that people are doing in their communities, and in your case, all around the world. So if there are any students who are listening and they think they might want to be involved with a project like this, what would you recommend that they do? Like, how do they get involved?
Yeah, so honestly, when I first started thinking about this, I literally went on Google, typed in, you know, study abroad and like pre-vet, because that's what I wanted to do. And I started just Googling things and looking into stuff. And then I started talking to people who actually went and did that. And like I said, my friend was the first one that I'd heard about this specific program with. And the minute she mentioned it, I instantly just started talking to her about it, started having her send me information about it. And I just ran with it from there. And I definitely encourage anyone who's interested to look into it and do that, because just because you applied does not mean that you have to go. And so get in there, apply to it, go through the application process, because even if you don't go, that's something that's really helpful, one, to go through an application process, and two, just to know a lot more about the information. And that kind of makes you realize whether you want to do it or not. And so I definitely encourage students to do that.
Okay, great. So would there be any additional information that we didn't talk about yet that you wanted listeners to know or that you wanted to share?
No, I don't think so. I'm just really excited to go and experience this and hopefully come back and talk to you all more about it.
Okay, great. Well, I would love to have you on the show again so that we can talk about some of the things that you got to do when you're over there. All right. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for joining us today. I've really liked talking to you, and it sounds like this is an opportunity that's going to be really enriching for your academic career.
Yeah, thank you so much. I definitely appreciate it.
All right. Well, we are going to get back to the music, and I just wanted to ask if any of our listeners had attended the Youth Climate March. This was last Friday. There was a whole lot of high school students that organized a march, and there were some youngsters there, too. There were some elementary and middle school students as well. And if you were somebody or you know somebody who attended that march and you had thoughts about it, you really loved it, you had a very compelling speaker that you heard, I would love it if you would call in and share your story on the air. So that is 859-257-WRFL. Again, that's 859-257-9735. And I would love to hear your stories.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.